Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. 75 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Not bad for March 14th. And the unseasonably mild weather will continue across the Midwest through early next week with highs in the 70s to near 80. Upper-level disturbances during the second half of the week will bring periodic chances of showers and thunderstorms to Missouri and southwestern Kentucky and southwestern Illinois this afternoon and across the rest of the region beginning tonight. High temperatures today will range from the upper 70s across Wisconsin to the low 80s across Illinois, Missouri, Indiana, and Kentucky. Low temperatures tonight will range from the upper 40s in northern Iowa to the low 60s in Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky. The forecast for East Central Illinois this afternoon becoming partly sunny. We could see a record or near a record high. Look for a high around 80 this afternoon. The wind from the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Tonight mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low 62. The wind will be out of the southwest from 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The high 78. The wind from the southwest at 10 to 15 with gusts to 25. 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. The low, 58. The wind from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday, partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high in the upper 70s. The wind will be out of the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 50s. Saturday, partly sunny again, that chance of showers and thunderstorms. Look for a high in the mid 70s on Saturday. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a low in the upper 50s. At noon Central Time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana were in the 70s. All locations reporting a sunny or mostly sunny sky. At Rockford, 72 degrees, also 72 at Mattoon. In Chicago, at O'Hare, 73. In Bloomington, 74. In Carbondale, 76 degrees. It was 73 degrees at South Bend. In Lafayette, 76 degrees. In Indianapolis and Terre Haute, reported 75 degrees. Willard Airport reported 77 degrees at the top of the hour, a sunny sky. The dew point, 59. The relative humidity, 53%. The wind out of the south at 14. The barometric pressure, 30.07. And falling in at 1240, 75 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. Anthony Cobb was sworn in last night as Champaign's police chief. Cobb is the second African-American to head the department. He most recently served as the assistant police chief in Urbana, where he worked for nearly 20 years. Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers talked to Chief Cobb about his new job and his plans for the Champaign Police Force.
I have a lot of reservation, a lot of concern coming to this job. Yes, I'm honored to be here, and I think it's a great department. I think I'm working with excellent employees. But at the same token, I recognize I have a tough job to do. I recognize that there's a lot of issues facing us. I tread cautiously, and I make sure I deal with the issues and deal with the issues that can be come out in a satisfactory manner to our public. So with that said, I came in here to the job without blinders on. I came in with my eyes wide open. So that's the reason why I wouldn't say excitement is what's jumping through me right now. But I have caution and concern as I move forward because I want to make the right decisions for the right reasons to assist our public.
What challenges do you think exist, if any, of being an African-American officer in a predominantly white police force?
Mm-hmm. With me being an African-American male, a product of this community, there's a lot of things that I'm going to see and probably see it from a different perspective than the average officer, because I have roots, I have family, I have things here. It's not to say the officer is racist or anything like that. My perspective is going to be different because of my kinship with the community. But at the same token, by being a police officer, I understand the tactics, I understand While I'm learning department policies and procedure, I'll know what is the expected way, that what is the best practice, and that's going to help me as I look at it. And then as we start to balance them, all right, department policy may allow this, and maybe within it, is there a better way to go about it?
There have been some high-profile cases in recent years involving arrests and even a fatal shooting involving an African-American youth. How has this added pressure to your job?
African-American youths are arrested all across the country. I understand the situation with Kingline Carrington, and that was a tragedy, and I do recognize that, and most people in our community recognize that. But from a pressure in my job, there's issues we got to deal with in the Champaign, Urbana community. From my perspective, it's important to have strong relationship with our community, and it's best to do that when emotion is not involved. It's good to have dialogue and have healthy dialogue. Those are some of the things we're going to be taking on at some point. As I stated when I first accepted this job, change is not going to happen overnight, and it's a process. We're just in the first step of the process. And a lot of people want to rush to the end results, and it's not. I'm not in a hurry to get there. And that's the reason why you don't see me telling you what my tenure is going to be in this and that, because I need to be focused on the process. I know the steps I need to take in order to get through the process, and the first step I need to deal with is to develop a healthy relationship internally within the Champaign Police Department.
And where does boosting morale within the police department fall?
Boosting morale, I think, happens as we're going through transition now. With me being here, with me being attentive to the officer, with me listening to the officer, one thing I'll ask the officer is that we have a level playing field. I'll treat them fairly, but in return, I ask they treat me fairly. I don't expect them to like every decision I make, and I don't expect them to jump them down with every decision I make, but I ask that they respect the office and respect the decisions I make. Any decision I make, I won't make in a vacuum. I will talk with the command staff. We will work together, but any decision we'll make, we're just going to be in the best interest, the overall mission of the department and overall mission of the community. And like I said, we want to make sure we meet our goal, and that's protect our citizens, keep our community, and make it as safe as it could possibly be. But in the same token, I need to protect my employees, protect the officer, and make sure they go about doing their duties and do it in a safe manner. But we need to be provide a quality service to our citizens, and we don't need to be excessive and the way we treat our citizens. We want to be fair and we want to be proper. And if we find that we're not, then we're going to deal with it, period. We have to take those issues on.
Do you feel that the expectations of the community are being met?
I don't think you have a consistent expectation across the city. So when I say no, they're not being met, I don't think we're meeting all citizens' expectation. Recognize we're never going to meet all citizens' expectation because the what's acceptable to one citizen to another, that avenue is broad. So with that said, what I say, will the majority of our citizens' expectation been met? I think we might get a favorable rating if you look at the entire city and we poll the entire city. But is there segments in the community that are completely upset with us, or maybe a little bit, I wouldn't say outraged, but angered or troubled by the Champaign Police Department? Yes. So there's definitely room for improvement across the board in all walks. Across the board, I think there's so much more we can do to improve, and that's what we're going to work on. But there's so many things that we do well.
What are the next steps in the investigation of the June 5th arrest in Champaign, in which a police officer was seen on videotape pepper spraying and putting his hands on a young man's neck?
Beyond my preview. Like I said, the complaint was filed at the city manager's office, and the city manager is overseeing and directing what's going to be done at that level. When it comes back to my preview, if it comes back to my preview, then I'll deal with it. But at this point in time, I have no comment on it. I can't really speak on it until I understand more about the facts and can deal with it. I may have to deal with it from a personnel disciplinary standpoint. If so, I shouldn't rush the judgment until I have facts, and I don't have it.
Do you think the department needs to reevaluate its use of force policy?
I think that's happening to some degree, but at this point in time, I need to become more versed in the use of force policy, so I can't speak to that either.
And just with resources and time, any chance that we'll see a larger police force? Will you be expanding the number of officers you have, resources?
Just now starting the budget process and looking at everyone's budget across the country. Champaign is no different. There's a lot of budget constraints, and most departments are laying off. We're facing some requests to reduce our budget, so the chances of us increasing this fiscal year is very unlikely.
You know, a year from now, projecting one year from now, 12 months from now, what kind of police department do you want to see?
I would like to see where if you talk with majority of citizens, they were like, I like my police department. I think my police department cares about my well-being. They'll step up to take on any issue for me from a community caretaking standpoint. We're always going to provide the basic service, and I think people look to us to provide that, and we do a great job with that. But I'm talking about going the extra mile and doing things that people are just surprised. I'm surprised that police department will even take the time to deal with those little issues. But those are things that if it makes a difference in our community, it's going to enhance the quality of life in our community, then we want to take the time to go that extra mile and do that for our citizens.
Champaign Police Chief Anthony Kopp, he spoke with Illinois Public Media's Sean Powers. We share the same language, but transatlantic visitors to the London Olympics might have a tough time understanding what's being said. NPR's Philip Reeves explains.
Americans and Britons enjoy sharing a mother tongue. I mean, we understand one another pretty well, don't we? Well, no, not always. English spoken by the British has some bizarre variants. One of the weirdest of these is found in the kingdom's capital. The Olympic Games will be based here, in East London, in one of the city's poorest parts. This isn't much like the London of Big Ben and Buckingham Palace. It's a drab, flat sprawl north of the River Thames. If you're planning to come, prepare to be baffled. People around here speak in code. Listen for a minute to EastEnders Nicola McCluskey and Jackie Dunning.
Apples and pears is stairs. Mince pies is eyes.
Daisy Roots is your boots.
Yeah.
The Olympics are being held in the heartland of Cockney rhyming slang. This odd linguistic device was introduced in Victorian times by Cockney market traders who wanted to avoid being overheard by the police. The Cockneys used to be working-class Londoners from the East End. Many have moved out of town and up the social ladder. These days in East London you hear a vast range of languages, from Urdu to Polish. Yet Cockney rhyming slang continues to thrive.
People use it every day. I mean, we use it, we don't even know we're using it, do we? You know, you say something and it's just part of what we say. It's like our everyday speech sort of feel. Like I say to the girls, I'll just quickly run up the apples and pears.
My husband sat and taught my son Cockney rhyming slang right from being little, because it's important, yeah.
Oh, I've got loads of examples. Parts of the body, for example.
Gordon Smith collects Cockney rhyming slang for fun and puts it on his website, cockneyrhymingslang.co.uk.
Starting from the top, you've got your Barnet Fair, that's your hair. You've got your boat race, that's your face. You've got your I suppose, that's your nose. Mince pies, north and south.
Gregory Peck, what is that?
Well, that's your neck.
You see how it works, right? You take a word, let's say talk, replace it with a rhyming phrase, rabbit and pork, and drop the rhyming word. Thus, the word for talking too much in Cockney becomes a small furry animal. Four and a half months remain before the start of the Olympics. The verbal gymnastics have already begun. London's bloggers, including Smith, are busy compiling rhyming slang specially for the Games.
We've got the cycling, and the word bike is Dick Van Dyke in Cockney rhyming slang. Tennis players will be using balls, so that's Albert Halls. And these are all genuine Cockney expressions.
There's a rumour the rhyming slang for the Games themselves is the Sids, after the late Sid James. You may not have heard of him, but he was a big comedy star in Britain, thanks largely to the Carry On movies. EastEnders Nicola McCluskey and Jackie Dunning don't think the Sids will catch on.
No, see, there's a lot of new slang brought out by people, and like some of it you have to say to them, what does that mean? Because it's not the true slang,
like,
is it?
What we were taught when we were younger.
It's fake.
We won't have it. We want the true ones.
Philip Reeves, NPR News, London.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 14th of March, 2012. It was 70 years ago today, 1942, the first human life was saved with penicillin, an antibiotic discovered accidentally by Alexander Fleming, 1928. On this day in 1942 in New Haven, a 33-year-old nurse and mother named Ann Miller lay in the throes of a serious streptococcal infection, running a fever around 107 degrees. The family doctor, John Bumstead, had read the research on the experimental use of penicillin and he found out that the Merck Pharmaceutical Labs in Rahway, New Jersey, had produced a small sample, which they shipped him, 5.5 grams, about a teaspoonful, which at the time represented half of all the penicillin available in the United States at that time. Ann Miller was slipping in and out of consciousness, was expected to live only a few more hours. Dr. Bumstead had the drug in his hands. He didn't know exactly how to dose or administer it. He gave the first injection at about 3:30 in the afternoon, and by the following morning, her temperature was back to normal. She lived for 57 more years, and her medical chart is on display at the Smithsonian Institution. It's the birthday of the playwright Horton Foote, Wharton, Texas, 1916, author of more than 60 plays and screenplays, including a series of 9 one-act plays called Orphan's Home Cycle, loosely based on his own father and other relatives. The plays